Blog Talk Radio.
Jaguar Zone, presented by Impact Media. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Columbus Day, and I believe it is also Thanksgiving in Canada. So to our Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving. And that bell means one of two things. Either it is dinner time, which, given the time, it actually probably could be. Speaking of Thanksgiving, that makes me pretty hungry now. Thanks, sound guy. Or that means last week is over. Thank goodness, right? Because I think the theme of Sunday's game versus Tampa was simply this.
Missed it by that much.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Missed it by that much. And I'm going to get into some other stuff later, but I'm going to start off right with this game because there are just certain things I want to tell you guys, and, you know, then we'll get into the real brass tacks of everything. We'll figure out who's to blame later, because at some point somebody's got to take the blame here. We'll talk about the press conferences and stuff like that. But as far as talking about this game, people I can't blame. That would be Blake Bortles, who apparently, even though he was injured, he sprained his throwing shoulder. That Blake, you just proved a lot to me. You know, as much as I was messing with people who were Jay Cutler fans this week that were, you know, he was playing tough and he was playing hurt. Hey, he was, but he's Jay Cutler. This is the first time I've really seen Blake be injured and still be able to play. 23 completions, 33 attempts. I'm good with that. That's right in that window I always talk about. How about 336 yards? Yep, that's a good number. 4 touchdowns, good number. 1 interception, I'm good with that. 1 or 0, great numbers, especially for a second-year guy. That's great numbers for anybody. Ask Eli Manning. He'd love to have games where he only has 1 interception. Just saying. And also, he was the, let me find this stat, because this was just a great stat. Blake Bortles is only the second NFL quarterback with 300-plus yards and 4-plus touchdowns in a game this year. And he did it all while he was injured. I think the other one was Brady. I think. That makes sense. I think it was Brady early on. Okay, I'm not necessarily on the Blake bandwagon, but I'm thinking a little more of him. I mean, he come out, and he really proved some stuff. He really proved that he can play hurt, you know, hashtag warrior. Blake Bortles, hashtag warrior. Absolutely. He come out and prove that when the cards are on the table, he can lead this team. When push comes to shove, they're against the wall, he can lead this team. Unfortunately, he fell short as far as the comeback, but 31 points by your Jacksonville Jaguars. 31. Let me say that one more time. 31 points were scored by the Jacksonville Jaguars. That shouldn't be that unbelievable, but, you know, in recent years, maybe it is. But not this year. This team's scoring points. Now, unfortunately, the defense gave up 38. Well, the defense didn't give all that up. Part of it was a offensive fumble returned the whole way. But still, 38-31, and these two teams were supposed to be, you know, coming in, everybody thinks that Jacksonville and Tampa are the two worst teams in the league. I could argue all day long neither of these teams are the bottom for sure. Just the way it worked out, because the way it worked out, Tampa ends up with a win. I mean, Jameis Winston only threw 19 passes, 13 of them were completions, 232 yards and a touchdown. Yeah, that's not very impressive. The 232 is, but that just tells you that a handful of these were, in fact, Charles Sims, the backup runner, running back, had 85 of them. In fact, that's where most of the passes went. Vincent Jackson only had one catch. Mike Evans had three. But Doug Martin, Brandon Myers, those guys were the ones who were catching the balls for him. And there wasn't that many. They only caught 13. But they caught the ones that mattered. They were able to capitalize on some interesting field position. You know, it is what it is. Like I said, final score 38-31. I'm not going to go all Rex Ryan on you and say I'm proud of these guys, because I am proud of them. You're proud of them as well. If not, you wouldn't still cheer for them. If not, thousands of you wouldn't have joined the Bold City Brigade and the Teal Street Hooligans and everybody else and went to Tampa and made this pretty much a home game in Tampa. Yeah, congratulations on that. Absolutely. Some other numbers I did want to go over. T.J. Yeldon had 11 attempts for 32 yards. Blake ran for 21 on that one play. Just couldn't get the rushing going, but Tampa's strong point this year, the thing that they can really hang their hat on, is their run defense. So, you know, and the fact that the Jaguars were playing from behind a lot means they were throwing more than they were really trying to run. They only had probably 20 rushing attempts total. So, you know, trying to get Corey Grant involved, trying to get Toby Gerhardt a few carries, Bernard Pierce. You know, they were trying to see who was that matchup nightmare to break through. And just turns out on Sunday it was neither of them. But what I do like, how about the debut of Julius Thomas? Two catches for 20 yards, including a 15-yarder. Yeah, he's only going to get better. T.J. Yeldon, five catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown. He's only going to get better with that. Because he's like the fourth option on most plays. Not because he's not good, it's just these receivers are so good, he's usually like the third. Brian Walters, four catches, 64 yards, including the 24-yarder. Allen Robinson. Yep, wide receiver number one, Allen Robinson. A-Rob, seven catches, 72 yards, two touchdowns, including the 21-yard catch he had. What about Allen Hurns? Yep. Remember Allen from New Jersey called in last week and wanted to know who to pick up from this team. I said Allen Hurns. In most leagues, see, five catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown, including the 59-yarder, would have gotten you almost 20 points in most leagues. Allen, I hope you picked him up, because Allen Hurns or Allen Robinson, either one were definitely worth picking up. You had about 21, 22 points for Robinson. You had about 18 from Allen Hurns. If you are playing fantasy, those are the guys I'd go after. I have a couple of them on teams I have. People laugh at me when I draft them. They laugh at me when I pick them up. And then they put up numbers. Imagine that. Here's the other thing I like. Total net yards, 325. Total turnovers, they had the two, which ended up being scores. So, you know, there's 14 points on the board. How about that? I don't have the stat in front of me. How about Myers? Not only did he hit all the extra points, but let's see if the 31-yarder. People argue 31 is not that far. Well, if you get a chance, go down to a field. I don't care if it's a high school field, if it's a middle school field, peewee, whatever level, flag football, whatever. Go to a normal field. Start at the goal line. No, start at the goal line. Go to the 21-yard line. Turn around. Yeah. 31 yards. You know what that makes it? For all you non-math majors, that's 93 feet you're having to kick a ball in the air. And it's got to clear the 10 or 12 feet or whatever up and in between those little bitty goalposts. Yeah. You try to do that. Myers seemed to bounce back. I was glad for it. There was a lot of good takeaways from this. It's, you know, this one did hurt because this was another game that could have easily been won. Not easily, but could have been won. It's caused a lot of chain reactions. Nothing super huge yet. But we'll get into those here in a minute. Obviously, the game coming up will be against Houston in Jacksonville. We will I'll give you my three keys to victory on that one a little bit later. But you know, as far as that game, it is what it is. It's past us now. Watch the tape, get over it, move on to the next one. Head coach Gus Bradley was fired up. Some quotes. He said they quote didn't play well, unquote. Hate to state the obvious here, but Gus, you just stated the obvious. I'm pretty sure we know that you didn't necessarily play well. I thought you played pretty decent. Not as good as you should have. Didn't execute on some other spots, but, I mean, you did hang 31 points on a team in the National Football League. Doesn't matter what team it is. He also said they are, quote, capable of playing better, unquote. Once again, I think Captain Obvious has taken over this press conference. Here's one that I really like. Quote, we have enough good players in that locker room that we should have played better, unquote. Have enough good players. You can never have enough good players for one. But we know the talent level's high on this team. You know, how about people that have left this team either from being cut or for various reasons, free agency and all that, go to other teams and they're, you know, super performers there. But to say that you have enough good players in that locker room, I think we get it. We know the talent level's there. We know you guys didn't play as well as you needed to, and we know you didn't execute. Now, the thing I did like is his anger suggested that he's tired of losing, which I would hope he is. He's not tired of losing by this point. Maybe it is time to think in another direction, but other highlights from this game, Bortles was playing better each game. Julius Thomas made his debut. I think Bortles must have heard where I said I think he may be the bridge to the next guy. Who cares who's the franchise quarterback or not? Is your quarterback playing well? I think Blake Bortles is. I can't hang the last couple weeks on him at all. He's made better decisions. Hell, he's playing hurt. What else can you possibly say there? The defense did suffer without Posluszny. Pos, we want you to get better as soon as possible and get back. But, I mean, that wasn't the whole downfall, just one player missing. Pos means a lot to this defense as far as leadership and what he does on the field. But you can't say, oh, well, we didn't have that one player. The Colts won the other day, and they didn't have Andrew Luck. They had Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck is probably one of the best backups in the league, but at the same time, he's 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck. Good for him that he was able to pick up the win, but, I mean, if you're Houston, who is coming into town later this weekend, how can you lose to Matt Hasselbeck? Throwing to people like Andre Johnson, who has never been that big of a threat. He catches a lot of balls for a lot of yards, but, I mean, he's not a touchdown threat. And, I mean, Frank Gore, who the 49ers let go. And then one of the other things I wanted to hit on from that game, they lost the special teams battle. This is always one of the things I hang on. They had the fumble return for a touchdown by the defense, and then they gave up big punt and kick returns, and the turnover battle in general. I mean, it was 2-0. They didn't turn the ball over at all. Tampa didn't. And when you lose the turnover battle, A lot of times you don't win the game. And when losses are close like this, it's the lack of execution and it's making these mistakes. That's what it is. It's not you weren't talented enough or you weren't good enough or the wind was blowing or Sunday ends in a Y or any other kind of goofy excuse you can come up with. No, when you lose by a score, 7 or less points, by a score or less, it's just lack of execution. And it's just making these mistakes. That's all it comes down to. And that's what Gus was trying to get into with his press conference. I mean, what else can you say? This team has got to execute better. Or, I mean, it's going to be another 3 or 4 win season. And that's not going to help anybody. Injury updates. T.J. Yeldon injured his groin, which was part of why I think he didn't get the numbers he wanted to. And then T.J. House was seen using a cane because of a hip injury. I think they're both going to recover and be okay. House may miss this weekend, but I think overall he's going to be okay. I mean, I talked to some of you guys, especially some of the ones who were in Tampa. I mean, this team played inspired, just came up just a little short. You know, and it brings up what needs to be said, I guess, is it time to move on, firstly, from general manager Caldwell? No, I don't think so. I think he's done well in the draft. Look at the young talent we have. I think he's done well with some trades. You know, trading Eugene Monroe a couple years ago, everybody was up in arms about that, but that worked out pretty well. Some of the other trades and then keeping some of these guys on the roster. And I like the game plan. You know, Caldwell's doing good. He's doing decent. I don't know that he's doing better than most. Because you got to think where they started with this. They literally started with almost in the red. And they're back on the black side here. They're not losing money anymore. Not that they were losing actual money, but they weren't, you know. You guys know what I'm trying to say. I mean, at this point, this team actually looks like they can beat people. All they got to do is just, you know, execute better and not make the mistakes they're making. And then, of course, is it time to ring the bell on Gus Bradley? Gus has been here 3 years now. He is 8-29 or something like that, 8-30. Most coaches, only like two in the history of the league, I think, have had that kind of record or worse and made it to the end of the season. I personally like Gus. Do I think it's time to move on? No. Do I think they will move on? Not this week. And I don't think next week. The primetime spot, if they were going to move on from Gus, would be the same way the Dolphins did. It would be after the game in London against Buffalo. Once they got back to Jacksonville, or maybe even on the plane ride back, would be my guess if it's going to happen. I don't feel like it's going to. If that changes between now and then, I will certainly let you guys know. But everything I'm hearing is Gus is here at least to see this through the end of the year. So I think if they can hammer out 3, 4, 5 more wins, then I think he'll be okay and he'll get to see this through. But I don't know. I mean, stranger things have happened. But I think Gus is good for now. And wish you all the luck in the world, Gus. Seem like a pretty cool dude, and I like everything you're doing, just like you're saying. You're not executing. But lastly, I'm going to get into my 3 keys to the game for beating the Houston Texans as they travel into Jacksonville. How about number one? I feel like Brian Hoyer is going to be their starter. If Brian Hoyer is their starter, then I think you pressure him, make him scramble a bit. He's a pocket guy. He's not a, and he doesn't have the big arm that Mallett does. So I think you put a lot of pressure on him and force him outside the pocket. I think that's key number one. Key number two. I mean, these are going to sound redundant, but I'm waiting on them to all happen, because if they do, it's going to be a Jaguars win. How about we win the special teams battle? That means not giving up big returns. That means hitting field goals. That means not punting the ball out of bounds 10 yards down the way, which Andrew does not do. Thank goodness. His punt's been pretty solid. Myers is coming around on his kicks. So win the special teams battle. Let's put pressure on Hoyer and force him outside the pocket. And if it is Ryan Mallett, then I would say force him with a lot of small throws, because he does have the big arm. I don't know that he has the receivers to throw him to, but he does have the bigger arm. But in number three, how about we air it out early? Let's not worry about trying to establish the run early or anything like that. Let's air it out. As long as Blake's arm and shoulder is okay, let's air it out early. And in case it's not, Chad Henne, it's on you. And I know a lot of people just put their head in their hands. No, you can't do that. Chad Henne is serviceable. He's one of the better backups in the league as well. I know he didn't have a good track record as a starter, but Chad Henne is determined, and he's been working with Blake, and that's part of why Blake has gotten better. It is. I have no idea who the third let's see if I can find it. I have no idea who the third let's see if I can find it. The third string would be, who would be bumped up to second if Blake can't go. Of course, they're not going to list it there. I'm looking. Stat guy is not getting up here fast. We're going to work on that. Your third string in Jacksonville. They don't have one. Okay. And one on the practice squad. There is not. Okay. Well, then my guess is that you'd sign Josh Johnson, who has been hired and fired each of the last two weeks by the Indianapolis Colts. So that's who I would go for. In case Blake can't play and Chad Henne has to start, I would go for Josh Johnson. Because if something does happen, he has to come in. I think he gives you the best chance of all the guys that are available. So we want to air it out early, as long as Blake's shoulder's okay. We want to win the special teams battle. And we want to force Brian Hoyer outside the pocket, because I don't think he's that good of a scrambler. I mean, those three things. I think if they can force him to scramble around, I think if they can win the special teams battle, and I think if they air it out early, this Houston defense isn't that good. You got J.J. Watt, who can make big plays, so just go to the other side of the field from wherever he's at. Jadeveon Clowney can make some tackles, but we haven't yet seen the Clowney that, you know, blew up the Michigan running back years ago. We're all still kind of waiting on that guy. Brian Cushing's a good, you know, middle linebacker, and they got a couple decent cover guys, but they can't cover Allen Hurns. They can't get out Allen Robinson. They can't cover these guys. I think it could be a big day if you're able to air the ball out. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say, Twenty-four, 24-17, Jacksonville over Houston. I think that's going to happen. I'll be watching the game. Hope you guys are too. But that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks to Impact Media and Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on and talk about the Jaguars right here on Jaguar Zone. I am your host, Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next Monday. Go Jaguars!
Missed it by that much.